So I read that you guys were all like you've known each other since childhood. So what when specifically did you guys like meet? Like what how what was that story essentially, and what made you all want to start a band together?
Well, we actually met when we were around 2 or kind of 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
But at that point, we didn't have any kind of aspirations to be kind of a musical group at all.
Yeah,
We
I'd
just, you
imagine
know,
so, yeah.
we were just kind of hanging out. And it was just because we grew up kind of in a small town. Griffin and I grew up just down the road kind of from one another, and Sean grew up just across the bridge over in Hollis. But we all kind of went to the same school, grew up together, and then kind of went off to different places. Griffin and I ended up going to the same college for fine art, and Sean went to college here in Maine at Farmington. But then we all kind of spread out, but ended up kind of moving back home after we were kind of broke
Yeah.
and kind of out of money. But Griffin at that point was doing a kind of solo singer-songwriter thing. He'd always been kind of playing throughout college. He had a couple bands and in high school. So we knew his songs and that kind of thing. So we would go out and watch him because we all kind of just started turning 21 and we were kind of going into Portland to kind of hang out. And he was doing a 3-hour kind of featured set here in Portland. And so we'd go and join him, and he'd offer up to, you know, he'd give us a beer if we got up and sang on a couple of his songs with him, which we all kind of, we knew all the songs, and our voices kind of fit really well together. And then we started realizing that those songs kind of started to expand, and we started doing like more and more songs, and people started to come to kind of hear that portion of the show. And then it wasn't just kind of our friends showing up to those shows, and it was people that we didn't know. And at that point, we kind of realized that we had something special happening.
Yeah.
And John played some bass when he was in school, and I started playing banjo when I was in college just for fun. So we kind of put all the parts together and started working on songs together. And then just got a couple of really great breaks. We met some great people kind of in the Portland music scene that helped us get onto some other kind of like bigger stages that weren't barroom gigs.
Yeah.
And from the rest, it kind of just steadily kept growing.
Right, great. So with the band specifically, did you guys always want to do something like folk-like or folk-esque, or was there ever like a rap period for the Ghosts of Paul Revere that we don't know about, or was
I think if we had the means and the kind of like the financial means to buy like big amps and that kind of thing, I think we would have been a little bit more rock and roll.
okay.
But we needed something that we didn't have to like plug in amplifiers and that kind of thing and kind of practice wherever. For a little while there, we were practicing outside for the most part, like
Okay.
in parks and that kind of thing, which kind of gave us that busking mentality because then, you know, we had to be able to kind of pick up and practice wherever we went.
Yeah.
So the acoustic instruments really helped with that, but I would say our sensibilities were kind of more like, you know, early rock and roll and Beatles and you know, kind of funny things like Radiohead or like Grizzly Bear. You know, we had all these kind of different sounds that we really liked to hear, but we were trying to create them with the means that we had.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of like I know Wild Child is one of your big songs. That's how I got introduced to you guys. I think it was on like XM or something.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I know it's number one on Spotify. I know with a lot of other bands, they'll find like you always hear them talking about how they end up, I don't know how to like phrase, they end up trying to like distance themselves from the most popular song because it's so like requested or whatever, or they end up like resenting it. And I don't, obviously I don't want you to like talk bad on it if you love it so much, but do you find that like process like with your more popular songs, is it kind of like, oh, that's all they want to hear, or is it very evenly split, you think, when you perform?
It's kind of evenly split. We're in kind of a funny spot, especially right now. We just, for the past kind of the very end of the year, for about a month, and then the first couple of months of this year, we kind of put together the solid band that we want to be kind of touring with, which includes drums and keys. And so we went in this kind of the most extensive kind of like pre-production work that we've ever done for a new album. So we had been writing throughout the summer and then kind of did a whole month of kind of just practicing in like a, we had a rented space. So we were practicing live kind of every day for about, you know, 9 to 10 hours a day. And so we were playing all new material.
Okay, perfect.
So some of the older stuff, now that we've kind of like gone back to it, it's kind of fun to revisit those things and come at them with like a new kind of sonic feel for them. And just, you know, that kind of like distance idea makes you kind of come back to them.
But yeah,
I don't know. A lot of the songs we had, there were a couple of years where we were playing a lot of the same stuff over and over again. So it was like, it was just about trying to figure out how to continuously revitalize them and kind of like find new meaning in them, I guess. Yeah.
That's great. So it never felt like a chore at any point for you guys or like whatever like that.
No, not at all. It's kind of fun to hear people kind of like, if we haven't played one of the more well-known or popular songs in places that we haven't played a lot, to hear people kind of yell out those songs. Cause it's like, oh, wow, I've heard those.
Yeah. No, that's dope. So I know you guys, you obviously just mentioned that Radiohead, Led Zeppelin, Beatles, those are all big, inspirations. Do you find yourself like still gaining inspiration from them, or have your like tastes since evolved from that point and you find like, I don't know, like branching out more from, like obviously like more different bands or like more different groups?
Yeah, I think it's kind of constantly changing, which was always the fun part between, especially the three of us, Sean, Griffin, and myself. Those are definitely like go-to strongholds that will never kind of like disappear. But it's fun to kind of see each individually, even though we spent so much time together, our musical tastes are very similar, but then also kind of radically different. Like Griffin's gotten into a lot of kind of like, I don't know, he just showed me this incredible Beach Boys album. It must have been, I forget, they were under a different name, and it's really kind of like early rock and roll, kind of sounds like The Who, but it was the Beach Boys, like these really kind of like edgy kind of guitar tones. And then Sean's kind of constantly looking into more kind of like R&B and kind of like soul music, so I get some stuff from that. And then, I don't know, recently I've been kind of really digging into The National again, which was like a really big one for me for a while. So it's like, even though we have kind of the staple things that we all kind of hinge on and talk about a lot, it seems like it's constantly changing, and it's a good kind of like mixing pool between the three of us of different kind of sonic worlds for sure.
Yeah. So you're obviously just talking about where you get inspiration from. Does that differ with music that you'll listen to just like casually, like just driving, or at like any point if you're just throwing something on? Is there a difference between what you feel like gives you inspiration versus just something you'd like to listen to? Like, I don't know, maybe you're into like polka or something like that.
Right.
Like,
yeah, no, I wonder about that a lot. You know, there's times we've been doing, you know, you get kind of sonically burnt out, especially when you're driving on the road a lot. So we started doing a lot of podcasts in the van when we're driving and that kind of thing, which gives you kind of a refresher and keeps you kind of engaged while you're driving. So I've been kind of thinking about music in that way. Since we've been home, we've had some time off. So I'll put on a lot of music. Well, I'm kind of like, I do a lot of kind of drawing and that kind of thing. We're trying to work up some stuff for new album art and that kind of thing. So when I'm drawing, I'll put on a lot of stuff, and I find that I'm not really actively listening in that way, where I'm like, oh, that part's very interesting. Like, I wonder how I could utilize that in a song or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder about kind of what seeps in when you're not consciously like, or actively listening, because I think a lot of it is there. It's kind of funny. I was really hooked on, and still am, Mac Miller. For a long time, and just like, but I would find myself doing that kind of thing where it was just like, it was something I could put on and not be completely absorbed in and kind of having to focus on it at the same time.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
But I still think that there's something about kind of how it seeps in, even if you're not actively processing exactly how it is coming in.
Yeah. No. What is the writing process like? How has it differed from each album? Is it kind of a communal thing, or do one of you guys write one song and then the other writes another song, or is it all a communal effort?
It's been different kind of throughout our development. When we first started, because we were kind of joining up with Griffin, a lot of the songs were Griffin's kind of tunes that he was playing. So a lot of those for the first kind of like EP and then first album were pretty much, you know, kind of Griffin's being, and then we would kind of like, we'd figure out kind of harmonies and that kind of thing to alter them. But for the most part, he would kind of have the songs. And then as we started to kind of progress, I started doing a little bit more writing. And at that point I'd take like, you know, either pieces of a song to the other guys, and we'd kind of workshop them, kind of get them to a spot. And then it started to become kind of like each individual member would take a song that was pretty much done and then bring it to the band. And then for this last album, we decided to write with a local musician here in town, Spencer Albee. And we did like a summer kind of like songwriting thing where we each wrote individually with him, which was kind of cool. He's got a really good grasp on kind of like early Beatles harmonies and kind of a lot of kind of vocal things, because he does a Beatles night every year here in town. So he's like, he constructed all those harmonies quite a bit. So it kind of like stretched us out of that realm. So we each kind of workshopped songs with him and then brought them together and then started to kind of like fully realize them in that kind of pre-production stage. So it's gone kind of through the gamut. The only thing that we don't really do, there's been a few songs that we've kind of sat down, the three of us, and kind of written from scratch together. But it doesn't happen that much.
What songs were those?
An anchor.
Yeah, what songs were those specifically?
Let's see, Hey Girl was one of those, because it's kind of, you know, it was like, it was actually just to kind of like test microphone levels when we were recording up at Sean's camp. So it was like we needed to get each voice in. So it started with like layering the three Hays, and then it was like, well, it's kind of fun.
Right.
And then we, you know, like the lyrics started to come, and there's that kind of fell in. I'm trying to think what else. After Many Miles was kind of like that. Griffin had that. He had kind of one verse and a chorus, and then he was like, you guys should write verses for this. And then Sean and I each wrote verses for it. Let's see. I think Wells kind of, nothing else really completely kind of from scratch in the moment. In that way, I feel like we end up kind of getting to a point where it's just like too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay. So I guess just to close up, do you guys have any plans for 2019? And just for the audience, obviously, where can people find your music?
Big plans for 2019. We're going to redo our festival that we do, that we did it a couple years back now, but it's called Ghostland.
It's a great name.
Been putting it on. And we did it again last year. It was a big success. And so we're doing it again this year. And that'll be September 30th. And then our other kind of big move this year is to hopefully get this new album out by the fall. So we've got basically a full album there. So we're looking forward to getting that out. And then if people want to find us, we're on kind of all the general kind of music forms. We're on like Spotify and iTunes and Amazon. And you can always check out our website. It's just ghostfargear.com.
Do you guys plan on being anywhere near the tri-state area?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a show in Hoboken.
Oh, really?
Let's see. That's coming right up the 18th of this month.
Okay.
White Eagle Hall.
Cool. That's dope. And I can't believe I forgot to ask this because this is a very important question. But one more question before you go is the name, the band, the name of the band. Where did that come from?
It's kind of a funny one. The story pretty much goes that Griffin woke up with that kind of combination of words, the Ghost Power of Year, in his head when he was in college. And that was the time when he was just starting to do kind of his singer-songwriter solo career. So he was, you know, he didn't want to just go out as kind of Griffin Cherry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just didn't want to go under Griffin's name by saying Griffin Cherry and the Ghost Power of Year. Kind of gave himself a little bit of, you know, it gave him a band name of sorts.
Yeah.
And so when we started playing with him, that was kind of the moniker, the kind of name that he was going under. And then when the band started forming, we started talking about kind of like band names and that kind of thing. And a lot of people had kind of known us, at least in some form, as like the Ghost Bar Revere or like, you know, Bob Dylan and the band. We were kind of like the band. Yeah. And he was like, well, we were all kind of just like, well, I guess we could. We went through a bunch of silly names, but it's just like, why don't we just go with the Ghost Bar Revere? Because it's already kind of built in. So, perfect. And over time, it's kind of like morphed into, you know, it's got New England roots, which is cool. And it's kind of that idea of, you know, having a kind of creative entity that is outside of yourself and kind of bigger than yourself that you can, you know, share successes with, but then also it helps you kind of take on the blame when things don't go exactly right. So it's been good.
Perfect. Well, yeah. Max, thank you so much. This has been great, honestly. This has been a lot of fun for me, at least, for sure.
Cool. That's awesome. Man. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. No, totally. Thank you. You have a good one.